morning is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have sung of your goodness. We have heard from your word. We are enjoying each other's fellowship and company among each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And now we ask that your Spirit would invade our hearts and our minds, and that you would guide and instruct and give us peace and give us what you would have for us to know today, experience today, and be a part of. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So today we are going to be in that first passage that we read in Psalm 67. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. And so we'll be parked in there most of today. And just thinking about how to even start talking about this psalm, it reminded me of raising children and birthday parties. And if you're like me and you have children, there's a pregame you have to do before you go to a birthday party with your child, especially when they're young. Or if there's a birthday party in your house and you got to kind of pregame the rest of your kids who it's not their party. And you ever done that? So your child's going to a party at 4 or 5 years old for a birthday, and you have to tell your son or daughter, hey, just remember, this party's not about you. Your friend or your sibling is going to be opening presents up, and they're not for you. And that's okay, because your birthday is like in 2 months, 3 months, and don't worry, you will eventually be sung to and have cake and get presents, but for today, it's not about you, and you've been there and done that. And we've done that with all six of our kids, kind of pre-game them and get them ready, and sometimes it's worked wonderfully, and sometimes it's not. But there's one particular child in my family who's 6 years old that we've done the pre-game with him, but we found out we really never needed to. Because this young man, his name is Hank, or Henry, his proper name, Hank loves to party. And he's okay if it's not his party. He's okay being happy about you and your party and you and your presence. And so I've never met somebody so excited for somebody else to receive something good. Hank lives that way. And so even in our house, we have a tradition with our parties. You know, we have a normal party. We had the normal party with them and, the kid and their friends. And then we always have just a small family party just for, you know, Aaron and I and grandparents and the child and siblings. And we do something, it's pretty generic, but it works. We have this big leather recliner that is Dad's chair. It's my chair. I sit in it at night to watch TV. It is falling apart, but it's so comfortable. And the kids know that this sounds bad, but I think it's okay. If my kids are sitting in that chair and I'm home at 6 and I'm ready to sit down and watch TV, they have to get out of my chair. And they go to their chair. But for birthdays, the kid who's having the party gets to sit in that chair. And they sit in that chair, and then we bring the cake to them. We light the candles, and they bring the cake to them. And who's first in line to bring the cake and to smile and to blow the candle out? It's Hank. No matter what kid it is, Hank is right there in the beginning. And as soon as the cake's done, Hank says something. Presents! And he's okay. The presents aren't for him. He's just excited for whoever's going to get the presents. And he's just sitting there looking at them, watching the presents get opened. And he's totally great with it not being about him. In Genesis, I think it's in Genesis, first few chapters of Genesis, it says something very uniquely about you and I and God. It says that we have been created in the image of God. We bear his likeness. And when the sin is moved away, what happens is the character of God is revealed through us because we're made in his image. And I am blessed that God every once in a while will pull the veil back so that we can see godly character in different people. And one of the godly characters I see in my son, my 6-year-old son, is this character of blessing and goodness. When I see Hank, I see blessings and goodness of how he wants that to be bestowed upon others. And it's a beautiful sight. And today we are in Psalm 67, and we're looking at God's blessings and his goodness of himself that he's trying to give to every one of us. It's a beautiful character of God. And so today we're going to look, there's 7 verses in chapter 67 of Psalm, but today we are only going to park on verse 1 and verse 2 because it gives the full, not full theology, but it gives us a great theology of God and his blessings on his people. And we can find that just in verse 1 and 2. And then verses 3 through 7 just reiterates this blessings of God and how God wants to take care of his people. And so, but for just for today, we're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to move over to verse 2. And there's 2 things I think God is trying to say to us. And in verse 1, I believe God is really, and God's Holy Spirit is really trying to tell us that he has an ask that he wants us to ask of him. It's the prayer that we can ask of God for his blessings and his goodness in our life. And so in verse 1, I'm just going to give you the outline of what we're looking at today. In verse 1, we're going to look at the ask. What does God say for us to ask of him for? And then in verse 2, we're going to look at the actions. If God is asking us to make this request on him, once we receive these things that God wants to give us, what do we do with them? What is our action? And we'll pick up in verse 2 for that. But in verse 1, it says, let me just read it out loud, both verse 1 and 2. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. And so, like again, I said in verse 1, there's the ask. Read it one more time, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. You might have heard that verse before. May God be gracious to us. May he bless us. May his face shine upon us. That's the ask that God is asking us to make of him. That is our prayer to God. God, be gracious to us. Not just be gracious to us, God, but bless us. And at the same time that you bless us, God, have your face shine upon us. And you might have heard that scripture before, maybe not even in the book of Psalms. You might have heard that from an earlier passage, 100 years earlier, before this psalmist wrote this. It's actually found in Numbers chapter 6. It's called a priestly prayer for the Israelites. And some people call it the Aaronic prayer. And I don't mean like irony, like not I-R-O-N, but A-A-R-O-N, Aaronic prayer. Because if you remember in Israel's history, they had just left Egypt. They were in captivity. And God released them, and you have all these Israelites, and they're leaving Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and now they're following Moses. God put Moses in charge, and Moses' right-hand man is Aaron. And so you have this new journey with Moses and Aaron leading the nation of Israel. And God gives the Israelites all these rules and regulations, how to live civilly, but also how to live spiritually, and they're living this stuff out. And they have priests that are over that are ministering to them. And then God says something to Moses, says, hey, I want Aaron, when he's before the people, to give the people a blessing. And so Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, hear the same language that you hear in chapter 67 of Psalms, but Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6 and the priestly blessing found in Psalm 67 shows that the emphasis is on God. That God originates, even though we pray for it, God originates this blessing. It was God who instructed Aaron on the proper form of the blessing and gave him instructions of how he's supposed to speak it over the people. The blessing itself, get this, the blessing itself emphasizes that it's the Lord who blesses the people and does for the people for what the people cannot do themselves. And so the Lord says, Aaron, I need you to bless the people. And the blessing that you're going to give them is a blessing that the people cannot do for themselves. And that's what we see in Psalm 67. This blessing wasn't just a general blessing. It was a specific blessing. Think about how the Israelites would have heard it. They're walking through a wilderness, new lands, enemies all around. The closer they get to the promised land, the more enemies come out. And the Lord is saying, God, the Israelites are saying, God, bless us, keep us, protect us, keep your hand upon us, let your face shine on us. And then we pick up in chapter 67 of Psalm and we hear the same blessing. God, be gracious to us, bless us, let your face shine upon us. The same prayer that the Israelites 100 years later are still praying to God. It's the same prayer as a church I believe that God is asking us to ask of him, is that the Lord would bless us, he would be gracious to us, that his face would shine upon us. And this ask of God, as you walk through verse 1, the ask gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Because it starts off with, the Lord be gracious to us. And we know what grace is. We've been in church a while. We know what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. That God gives us the good things of him and the things that he wants for us without us earning it. Because on our own, we're broken, fallen, we don't make the mark. But God says, I still want to give you good things. And that's a New Testament understanding of grace. But sometimes when you hear the word grace in the Old Testament, it's actually coupled with another word that you also see throughout the New Testament. And they merge together, and it's the word mercy. And mercy is the same, comes out of the same idea that we don't deserve it. But mercy is when we have fallen short, when we are broken, when we have messed up, and God still comes in and says, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. You are completely forgiven. There's no condemnation. You are whole. That's mercy. And so when you hear that word, Lord, be gracious to us, you can actually hear the word, Lord, be merciful to us. I don't measure up. I'm broken. I'm fallen. I'm asking you to keep those consequences away. I'm asking you to blot them out, wipe out my sin, be merciful on me. And that is the first request as God's blessing us. Saying, God, I know who I am. I know who you are. And I'm asking you to show me mercy. And then he goes on to the second part of that prayer, and it gets even stronger. He said, not only am I asking you for your mercy, but now, God, I'm asking you to bless me. I'm asking you to give me the good things of you into my life. To put it in practical application, Rob shared the other day about him driving fast down the road and getting pulled for a ticket and not having an excuse. I've been there before. We're like, yep, I'm wrong. And so imagine you're driving down 17, 10 miles over the speed limit. You get pulled over. You get the ticket. And you know what happens next. 30 days later, you go down to traffic court down in Georgetown. And you're standing there before the judge. And so you're standing there before the judge. And the judge says, "What say you?" He's like, "Well, I was 10 over. But I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. Wipe out the charges." And then the judge, doesn't happen usually, but the judge in his mercy goes, "You know what? You're forgiven. We're wiping the charges out. No points, no money. His ticket goes away." Imagine how great that would feel, you know? And then you get up to walk out of the door and you turn around and you look at the judge. Say, "Judge, do you mind? I have one more thing. Can I approach your bench?" And judge, "Come on up." And you go up to the bench and say, "Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for getting rid of the ticket, but I have one more request. My car insurance is really high priced. So for the next 6 months, could you just please just, could the court pay for my car insurance the next 6 months?" You know, that's the level of this prayer, honestly. "God, we need your mercy. We don't measure up. Wipe out my sins." And God says, "You got it. Because my son, your sins are wiped out. There's no condemnation." And then God asks us to come back to him and say, "Now on top of that, would you give me the good things of you?" That's a strong prayer. I think sometimes we ask God to bless us, at least me, because I think I deserve the blessing. But if you looked at the mercy he's just given us, coming for his blessing is also unmerited. We don't deserve it. And God says, "Come to me. I want to bless you." I don't get why Hank, my little six-year-old, loves to bless people, but he does. And I don't fully grasp all the time why God wants to be so good, but he does. And then it gets even stronger. Because the psalmist says, don't just bless me. He says, "Make your face shine upon me. Look, God, look at delight. When you look at me with your delight, in your hope, in your grace." That's beautiful. And think about it. Like, I grew up, wonderful Christian family. And just like all of us, we have our issues and families. But they taught me Jesus. They taught me God. I didn't come to find Christ until my first year of college. I had all the foundational stuff. I never truly said, "God, here I am. I'm yours," until my first year of college. But I was taught God and who he was. But for some reason, I still have to wrestle with this. But for some reason in my mind, growing up, I believe God was a cosmic cop. That he was just ready for me to do some stupid stuff so he could zap me. And I definitely tested him. You know, I really gave him a run for his money in that area, but God didn't zap me. But I had this belief that that's what he was, but this is not what that verse says, does it? "Let your face shine upon me with your goodness and your grace." And it reminded me of my lawn, my yard. I'm a working guy. I'm 47, so I work a lot. And my neighbors, some of my neighbors around me are retired, and they spend a lot of time in their yards. And then you get to my yard, and it looks like a family lives there that doesn't work in their yard. And so I always feel like I need to apologize to my neighbors. My wife says I don't, because they used to be at that stage in life too. And I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, I was trying to get my lawn back up to square, and every time I would walk out there, it would be like brown and brittle. Like, I remember like 2 years ago, we weren't getting rain for like 2 solid months, and it would be brown and brittle, and I would put my water hose and my sprinklers out right before dark, and I would put the hose on for a good hour and 20 minutes every single night for weeks at a time just to get my grass a little bit green, and it would work for a little bit. I'd wake up the next morning, the grass would be a little bit green, but then by the time I got home, the grass was back to brown again and just dry. So I spent, you know, water bill, you just spend tons and tons of money for weeks at a time for your grass to be green for 4 hours a day. And but then God kind of showed me a little illustration about 4 weeks into it with no rain. All of a sudden we started getting rain, and it wasn't like a lot of rain. It was like 2 or 3 hours of rain per day, like 3 days in a row. And guess what happened to my lawn? It greened up and got healthy, and it stayed that way. And it hit me. It's amazing. I spent hours a night getting my sprinklers out, trying to water my lawn for 2 to 3 hours of green grass. And what does God do? Opens the sky, two or three hours a day for 3 days, and it sustains my lawn. And so when we go to God and say, God, give me your mercy. I need your mercy. We put ourselves on his mercy. And God, give me the good things of you. But then he goes, let your face shine upon me. God, do what only you can do in my life. There's a lot of things I can manufacture and blessings in my life that are so short-lived. And in my life, God, I'm saying, God, I need something bigger than that. Something that sustains me. Something that's only you can do. You see how that prayer has gone from God, mercy, to now, God, in my life, do what you can do and only you can do. We could end there today and say, God, let us just continue to ask of that. But if we stay there and live there, we don't fulfill the full promises of what God is trying to do. Because in verse 2, it says, now that God is doing this and has continued to do this in our life, there is some action on our part. And so in verse 2, it says this, so that your ways may be known on the earth. We ask God for his mercy. Ask God for his goodness. Ask God to do things that he can only do in our life. Why? So that his ways may be known to those who don't know him. Yes, God blesses us individually with his goodness because he loves us individually. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you that he gave himself. Another verse says, it's not that we loved God, but that he loved us first and gave us his son. So 100%, God loves you and blesses you, but it doesn't stay there, does it? The reason he does that is because he loves us, but also the reason he does that is so we can also bring that to others. That's the way God's economy works, that we bring his goodness, his mercy, his blessings. He blesses us so we can do that to others. And there's three words in this action plan that God has given us. And the first word is this. It's the word that. So that we can do this. The word that is that connecting word that takes us back to verse 1. The reason God is giving us his mercy, the reason God is giving us his goodness, the reason God has pleasure in us and we get to experience it is so that we can do the same for others. So that. I remember a few weeks ago when Bishop Thad was preaching, and I forget the exact illustration, but he was talking about working with someone in a homeless mission who was addicted to drugs and trying to get over that addiction. And he mentioned that man says it feels like the world is putting its hand through that window and trying to grab me and pull me back into the streets and back into that addiction. And the beautiful part is that there's another side of that. And that's that God has given us good things and mercy and grace and his goodness. So what? So we can reach our hand the other way to the people who are hurting, the people who need to hear God's grace and God's goodness. And we can actually, instead of as the world's pulling them out to back to them, we're actually extending God's hand through our life to be a blessing to them. What a beautiful picture. And so that first word is that in our actions. The second word is the word ways. So that, what? Your ways. We speak the name of God. We speak scripture. We speak about different scriptures we know. We speak about theology of God, but it doesn't say that here. It doesn't say so that people will know the theology of God, or that the people will know the name of God, which they will, or so that people will know this little intricacy. No, it says that when we show grace and we show mercy to others, it says that we show off God's ways. Ways has such a broader term, doesn't it? That we show off God's passions, by the way we live. We show off God's character by the way we live. We show off God's, what his heart beats for by the way we live. And so we get to not just share about his name or his theology, but we actually get to share about his action and his ways by the way we live. And then the last part of that is the word known. so that we can make him known. So that we can make him known. The speaker last week shared a hard passage. And in that passage, it was about how the world is coming to an end, the world that we know it, and how things are going to get darker and darker, and how things are going to get worse and worse. How do we interact with that? This verse shares with us, as we show God's grace and mercy, it brings light to those dark places. So why? So that he can be known. And so as I was reading through this passage and studying this passage this week, I walked away with just, I would say, action steps for my life, and I want to share them with you, and I would pray that God would touch your heart and say, God, where am I at in this, and how do I live this action as God has given me the good things of him? And so there's two, and there could be more, but these two came to my mind. The first one is this: who is that person or situation or need in your life that needs to know God's mercy through you? Who is that person or situation that needs to experience God's mercy through you? God has a very unique way, when you're in Scripture, to test you and see if it's real in life. And a lot of times you read Scripture and life doesn't bump up against you sometimes. But this week, it's been a Percy and I had lunch, I think, Friday. He's like, how's your week? And I was like, you know, it's been rough. I had a couple situations I had to take care of this week that I felt kind of burned on. Not with church. Church is always perfect. And it wasn't church. It was outside of church context. And I just sat with him and I unloaded everything that was going on. But I'm also reading this passage about mercy and forgiveness. And I'm like, really, God? You know, because the life kept on bumping up. And this is my conviction for my life, is God saying, I've shown you mercy, and you got some people in your life that you're struggling with this week. How are you extending mercy to them? That's tough. I don't like that all the time, but that's how God works in my life to work in somebody else's life to show mercy. And forgiveness is a hard concept, because sometimes we think forgiveness is a feeling, but it's not. Forgiveness is a decision. I work with students for the past 25 years, and students have been through a lot the past 25 years, and quite a few students I've met with who've had some rough family situations where maybe dad hasn't been in the picture since they were 5 years old, and now they're in their young adult years and trying to navigate life without a dad that hasn't been there for years. And when I say extend forgiveness, that's a hard concept. And so I just break it down best I can. Forgiveness is a decision, and the decision is this. It's the same thing God did for us, is he canceled our debt. And so forgiveness is canceling somebody else's debt. And that child who doesn't have the dad in their picture for so many years, how can that child, as they're a young adult, cancel the debt? They start thinking about what that dad owes them. That dad owes them multiple years of time during their middle school and high school years to be at their sporting event. That dad owes them emotional stability through those years. That dad owes them this and that. I said, list out what those things your dad owes you, and then be committed to cancel his debt. Does it make everything right that the dad did? No. Does it take any of that away? No. But you intellectually cancel his debt, and that intellect of canceling his debt, that you constantly cancel the debt, eventually seeps into your heart. And so my challenge for us is, God has shown us mercy and has canceled our debt and then given us the good things. Who in our family, who in our jobs, who in our life, that we need to start canceling their debt? That's how God is being known through our life. And that is what hit me this week, is how do I cancel other people's debt of people I believe they owe me stuff? Because God did it for me. I extend that grace and mercy to others. And now I'm not shown anymore. Who's shown? God has shown to them. Which takes me to the second thought that God was speaking to me this week on, is that who is that person or situation in my life, in your life, that needs to have God's blessings in their life? What has God given you that you can extend? And I'm not just talking about monetary. What has God given you that someone else needs so they can know God? For some, it could just be a conversation. For some, it could be time. For some, it could be a material thing. But who in your life needs to know God through the goodness that God has given you? And those are the two things that bubbled up. There's probably multiple more that can bubble up, but those were the two that I've been wrestling with and talking with God about, and I put that before you. God is asking of us to go to him boldly and ask for his mercy, ask for his goodness, ask for him to do beyond what we could ever do for ourselves. But in turn, he's asking us to live that out, to make him known. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. If we got what we deserve, this would be our last breath. But in your mercy and your grace, your face shines upon us. Help us not to hold on too tightly to that, but instead release it to others so that you may be known also. In Jesus' name, amen.